And I'm excited about this one significantly because I wish I could take you to Israel. This morning when I was preparing, I was checking some things. I had to do some editing. And so I went online and I went to my Israel site where the people are that I went with. And I went through and I wish I could take you. Today I want you to envision, how many of you have ever been next to a great big river that's been a fast river? Put up your hand. All right, I want you to envision that today because I want to take you to the Jordan River. And I want you to experience what I experienced at the Jordan River when I was there and how God really spoke to me about what he wants to accomplish in my life, but also in your life. Are you okay with that this morning? So can you think of a river? Now go to that river right now. In your mind. No, not physically, just in your mind. All right? Because there's where we're going to go. All right, so let's talk about this last one, choosing to be pure in life. Let me ask you a question. How is your soul? How is your soul today? It's a great question to be asked, but let me bring it to your attention. Is your soul heavy? Is it tender? Is it hardened? Is your soul open today? Is it grateful? You see, our heart of hearts, our subconscious mind, where we feel and operate without thinking, 90% of what we do every day is automatic. It's just been programmed into our life. If we don't take a few moments to stop, to sit still quietly before God, we will just keep on carrying the burden of being human. Cheryl and I attended a conference in Atlanta a few years back, and one of our fellow conference attendees commented in her testimony about what God had done in her life that week, that she said this, "Tomorrow I will go back home. I will be taking my luggage home, but I'll be leaving my baggage." Those are liberating words. This morning, metaphorically, I want your luggage home, but I want you to leave your baggage here. Many of us have been held hostage by the enemy of our souls because we think that we've either messed up so bad that we can't serve God, or that we must clean ourselves before God before we can even get his attention. Have you felt this? I felt this. Smell the sulfur. Smell the pit of hell. Jesus or Satan pointing us to everything we've ever thought, said, or done that not only reveals we're human, but is evidence that we are deeply flawed. You see, the enemy of our soul, of your soul and my soul, wants nothing more for you and I to carry the baggage of our past around us every day. People who are guilty punish themselves. It's a known fact. Look at Tiger Woods. People who don't understand or receive forgiveness will go through life beating themselves, reliving every detail of their failures, with the end result being that they simply give up and they isolate themselves. Or they isolate themselves from others. But more importantly, what even they do most of all is they'll isolate themselves from God. But here's the good news this morning. You may feel like you don't deserve to come to God for cleansing. And by the way, you don't. None of us do. But it's God who initiates the call to come into his presence to be purified, to be cleansed, to be forgiven, to be set free. But do you know why? Shame will keep you and I from seeking out God. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? When they had sinned against God, what did they do? They hid themselves. Shame drove them away from God's presence. But God in his grace came calling and called out their names. And this morning I want you to hear his voice calling your name this morning. My child, where are you? You see, most don't understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. You see, you have two voices in your head or two impressions in your heart. One is a gentle voice and the other is a guilt-ridden voice. The Holy Spirit convicts or convinces us to come to God for cleansing. Satan or even our own flesh will condemn us, seeking to convince you and I that we are unworthy of God's love and forgiveness. That we have messed up so badly that we have just proven that we can't walk in holiness. So rather than face the future with hope and help of God, we turn our faces to our past and quit. Quit growing. Quit hoping. Quit using the gifts. Quit using the talents that God has given us and blessed us with. You see, conviction, not condemnation. You see, you need to clear the fog of the lies and see the truth so that we can run to God. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. Circle all in your notes. All. We all. What does that mean? Every one of us. Billy Graham. Donald Trump. Justin Trudeau. Pastor Bob. This is a fact. King David understood. He understood his humanity. Look what it says in Psalm 24, verse 3. It says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy presence? The answer is this: no one, apart from the grace of God. Now, here's the good news this morning. Our shepherd knows we blow it. He understands, he knows how we wander down the wrong path at times, and he knows we have good intentions, but we fail miserably. He knows what we need. And this morning, as we come to our final message in Psalm 23, we will learn that he has graciously provided cleansing for us. Amen? Do you want to leave today with your luggage, all that you need to live for Christ, and leave your baggage behind? If you do, stand with me, because I want to read Psalm 23. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can leave your baggage today. Turn to your neighbor. Now, don't say your neighbor is your baggage, okay? I'm not saying that. Say it's a good thing you've got lots of baggage. Don't look at me, look at them. Let me read Psalm 23 one more time. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Here's our verse for today. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. May we hear from him today. Let's be seated. Have you ever heard that somebody's watching you? But have you ever heard that somebody's following you? Look at what it says in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the message, it says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. So let's, for a few moments, consider three words: surely, goodness, and mercy. Let's look at the first one, surely. This is what I want you to see here, is that my shepherd has a proven record. Now let me review the principles. Let me remind you, as we've gone to Israel through Psalm 23, he understood the people and how to connect the land and the people of Israel. So let me go through just what we've learned. We learned the Shema principle, where we said that we need to daily declare our allegiance, to Jehovah. That we need to declare that we only serve one God, and that's Yahweh. We talked about the manna principle, where we said that every day we need to decide to trust God. for what I need for today, just like he provided for the people of Israel, the manna every morning. We need to trust God that he's going to provide for us every day of our life. Then we looked at the path principle, where we understood that we need to be confident for the journey that we have today because God has given us the feet for the journey, whether that's good, bad, or ugly. God's given you the feet for today. Then we looked at the desert principle, which means that we need to always possess a teachable spirit, that our hearts need to be tender to the Spirit of God, blowing, even in the desert, bringing fresh wind and fresh experience into our lives as we are open to him teaching us. And then we looked at the staff principle, which meant that every shepherd had that, and we were able to trust God to lead us today. Not only is he going to provide feet for us for today, but he's going to lead us for today. And then last week we looked at the olive oil principle, where we understood that we could trust God to heal our wounds. And just as the shepherd would apply the oil to the sheep, the Holy Spirit, being the oil in our lives, can touch us too. So why can I be so certain that my shepherd has a proven track record? What promise have we been given? Look at the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Look at what it says here, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Not only does he have a proven track record, according to this verse, we have a proven partner in life who walks with us and never removes himself from us. Fear and discouragement dismantle our confidence in our great God, but we need to recognize that he's with us. He's following us. Let's look at goodness. My shepherd takes care of my steps all the way to the top of the mountain. How many of you have ever experienced God shutting a door, and when you look back, you knew he was just guiding your steps to greater trust in him? Friends, when you understand God is taking care of your steps, then you don't walk in fear. You walk in confidence, not in arrogance, but in confidence. You're playing to win, you're not playing to lose. Too many people, too many believers are playing it safe and not playing to win and making a difference in this world. And my, how that must grieve our God. One time I heard my mentor John Maxwell speak, and he said in his statement for the year that his words for the year was making room for God. Making room for God to show up and display his glory in every aspect of his life. And then he told the story of how he was sharing his plans with God one morning like God didn't already know them. And then he said, he heard these words, God's room is the space between what I can do and what he can do. And this is the space where miracles happen. He said, God looks at our plans and says, don't ask me to cram my plans into your little puny plans for your life. You see, when you and I are carrying around our sack of baggage, there's no room for God to allow his power to flow in and through our lives. You see, friends, I'm convinced that God's plans for your life, God's plans for my life, God's plans for this church are far greater than you and I can ever imagine. I was hoping I would hear an amen. Now that I've prompted you, let me read that statement again. God's plans for my life, God's plans for this church are far greater than you and I can ever imagine. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Solomon also stated, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Here's my encouragement this morning. Let him determine your steps. Don't miss your part in this. You have to be the one that steps out. Surely my shepherd has a proven record. Goodness, my shepherd takes care of my steps. I know the question you're going to ask me right now, but what if I fail? What if I mess up? Let's look at mercy. Mercy says, my shepherd takes care of my stumbles. Remember that we've learned about his oil, about his staff, about his arms. And David said in Psalm 37, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he will make his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Do you have any regrets in your life? You don't have enough time for a couple of mine. I remember when I was 13 years old, my neighbors who were 14 and 15, they would their parents, which I wasn't sure about, their parents would let them drive their little car around their drive, around their farm. I was next to the farm next to them. And so Rick and Steve was his brother, his older one. Steve was usually the one that was driving around. He was practicing getting ready for his driver's license. And so one weekend his parents decided to go away. And being kids, we thought, there's got to be a key to that car somewhere in this house. Took us almost all of Friday to find it. But we did. And we got a little courageous. And Steve got in the front with Rick to his side. And I was in the back seat. Skinny little me. We went into town about a mile. Went to the 7-Eleven. Got some Slurpees. And some chips, and went back and spent the evening watching movies. And actually, we slept that night in a tent in my house because their parents were away. But the sun got us up very, very early. Steve looked at us and said, let's do it again. So we got up, got dressed. We snuck around over to the other farm, got the key, got in the car, and we started driving around. And I remember us going down this little road, and at the beginning of the road was a little hump, and then we went to the end of the road, and it was a dirt road, and Steve said, I want to turn around and see how fast we can go. So we turned around. He got as fast as he could go. He hit that little bump in the road. That sucker went up into the air. This is what I was told because I was instantly unconscious. I was thrown from the back out of the back window of the car into the ditch. The car went over four times, landed on a boulder, smashed the front end of the car. Steve broke his toe, and Rick sprained his ankle. And I remember waking up somewhere in the ditch, running over. I was scared to death. Running over to Steve and to Rick and saying, can't we just push the car over and go home? And they said, no, we're not going in. I said, listen, by the way, boys, I wasn't here. And I ran home. They assured me that they would never tell anybody. I ran home. I should have been in the Olympics. I ran home so fast. Couldn't believe it. Ran upstairs, told my mom and dad. I said, Mom and Dad, we've been in an accident. Something's wrong. Mom says, get in the tub, because I was full of dirt. I was full of dirt. And so, oh, great. I told them that, they're not going to tell anybody that I was there. And Mom said, oh, we're going back. So I got dressed after having the bath, and we drove out. Figured out how long it took me to get there. And just as we were pulling in, there were the police. And I walked up with my mom and dad, and the police officer said, you must be Bob. I said, who told you? Long story short, I spent that night in the hospital for observations. My mom behind my back. I was a member of a little Baptist church, and the chief of police for my little town was a member of the church. So she just called up Mr. Heal and said, Brother Heal, would you go visit my son in the hospital tonight? He came up and scared the life out of me. I vowed I would never, ever, ever ever do anything like that again until the end of summer. And then I was grounded all summer. That happened in June. I couldn't play baseball, which was my love. I couldn't go on my bike and go to the sandbanks where the beach was. I loved doing that. The only time I could leave the farm, you're going to love this, Sunday mornings and prayer meetings. You have no idea how much I looked forward to church that summer. We didn't miss a service. Twice on Sunday, actually. Every time we would drive by, years after that, when I was a little, getting a little bit older, we'd have to go by that particular road to get to our trailer at the Christian family camp that we were at. Every time we drove by, you know what my dad would say? Remember that road? No, Dad, I don't remember that road. All of us have stumbled somehow. Maybe this year, this week, this month, or maybe even this morning before he got here. So how do we get a fresh start? Our shepherd knew that we would need a fresh start. Our shepherd knew that we would need a new beginning sometimes. And so let me take you back to Israel for an insight of how God in his grace provided for the people of Israel and symbolically for us. Flip over your page. I want you to look at the mikvah. A mikvah is a gathering of water. It was a gathering of living water. I want you to circle living, because it had to be flowing. It couldn't be stagnant. And when I was sitting on the steps outside of the southern wall of the temple area in Jerusalem, Mark was preaching about, or teaching us about, Pentecost and the birth of the early church. And it says that over 3,000 people were baptized that day. And we're sitting on the steps looking at the wall, because he's below us. Our backs are against the wall and he's below us. And out in front of us is a great big expanse. And he says to us, now how could they baptize 3,000 people in one morning or one day? And then he pointed behind himself where he was, and there were hundreds of mikvahs where people, when they would come to Jerusalem for the festivals and the celebrations, the Yom Kippurs, that they would come, and just before they went into the temple, they would go through the mikvah to do a cleansing, so that they could go in with confidence. So what's the purpose of a mikvah? It's cleansing. Not an outward cleansing, but for inward cleansing. Not the stain without, but the stain within. See, most of us here today, our bodies are clean, yet our heart, yet our memories are tainted with our transgressions. Would you join me in your mind's eye to be down beside the Jordan River? Symbolically, I want to ask you to apply the water of the river, the living mikvah, to four different areas representing four different aspects of your life and my life that may require cleansing today. So first thing, I want you to participate with me this morning. First thing I want you to do is I want you to touch your forehead. Would you touch your forehead? Okay. Imagine that we just put our hand into the Jordan River, and the first thing we did was we touched our forehead. Here's we go. The first thing we need to touch is our head, because we need cleansing from our thinking. Do you have any stinking thinking? Friends, look at me this morning. If I could just get you to understand one thing, I would want you to understand just how important your thinking is. How you think will set the stage for your ability to grow or decline in your walk with God. If I had the ability to tap into your mind and read your thoughts, what would I hear? I'm guilty. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm sinful. I'm disqualified. You see, I can actually read your mind, because all I have to do is listen to what you say. Or watch how you live. This will tell me everything I need to know about you. Most of us don't listen to ourselves. You see, our minds are so powerful that we're able to process so much, and without even our own permission, when we listen to garbage or negativity or the news 24/7, it just seeps into our lives, and then we wonder why we feel bad or we complain or we become lethargic. The Apostle Paul understood this so clearly when he instructed us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is a verse we ought to memorize, folks. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, underline this, think on such things. For some of you here today, you need to go on a diet. A mental diet. And just for the next 7 days, fast from any negative thoughts, and I guarantee you it would change your life. Now, you put, as we've seen in the life of King David, a man who sinned greatly, a man who was called a man after God's own heart, how could they do that? Because he went into the mikveh to be cleansed. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, I love this verse, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David would not ask God to create a clean heart if it wasn't possible. Do you hear that? What good news for us this morning. God can purify our passions. So hold your hands toward me. We've done the head. We've done the heart. Now go touch your other hand. Because God wants to cleanse your actions. Take an inventory of what you've done this past week. Have you spoken words that hurt? Have you intentionally stepped in the way of someone else's progress due to a past grudge? Friends, it's not so much that you can't, there's not much that you and I can have control over, but there's one thing that we do have control over, and that's our actions. Only we are responsible for our actions. No one else can make you do anything without your consent. You can't blame anyone else. It's a you and you deal. It's a me and me deal. I can't even blame the devil. Have you done anything in secret? Remember who's following you. I'm so encouraged that the bulk of our verses this morning is coming from a man who is so qualified to speak to us about needing cleansing, King David. If David can experience God's cleansing, then this is such good news for you and me. Psalm 24, verse 4 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Here's more good news this morning. At the end of my message, I'm going to walk you through a process where you can declare your hands are clean, your heart is pure. How many of us need this morning? Just a review. We did our head. We did our heart. We did our hands. We're not done yet. You got to go low. Touch your feet. Because he wants to cleanse your path. Here's the question you and I need to ask ourselves this morning. Are you on a trail away or towards God? Are you allowing God to direct your steps, or are you walking independently from him? Are you seeking to listen for his voice and follow his lead, or are you shutting his gentle promptings out of your life? Write this down in your notes, friends. God wants progress, not perfection. Will you write that down? God wants progress, not perfection. Because here's the deal. You're never going to get perfect. The only day you're going to be perfect is the day you stand before Jesus. Why progress? Because we have the ability to make a change when the Spirit leads us. You see, the Holy Spirit will not make us perfect. Not for some of you. That's not good news. God knows that we are dust. I may not be able to be perfect, but I can seek to make my way pure. How do I do that? Look at Psalm 119, verse 9 in your notes. How can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word. You see, we all need to wash because the world that we live in. And here's the good news. Here's the mikvah principle that I want you to see this morning. This is what I want you to take away. We need to be able to trust his cleansing power to wash us. And Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is not about a place as much as it is about the person, the shepherd, the pen. Today you may not be in your shepherd's presence because you're dirty. You don't even want to be in his presence because you're dirty. But Jesus invites us to allow him to clean the fog by simply admitting our need. Look at 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 in your notes. John wrote, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Now, how can this happen? You see, this sounds too good to be true, but it is true. For a moment, picture in your mind Jesus hanging on the cross. Jesus on the cross. His head carried the crown of thorns. He can cleanse your mind. His heart was pierced by the sword. He can cleanse your passions. His hands were pierced by the nails. He can cleanse your actions. And his feet were punctured by the nails. He can cleanse your path. You see, he has provided it all for us. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Laid. It's past tense. It's done. You and I just need to trust it is done as we acknowledge it before him. Will you do that on a moment? We're about to take some next steps. And then we're going to take in the benediction. So here's some next steps. You need to decide to walk in purity. So what are some next steps that you can do? Three things. You can write them down or just listen. One, choose to discover God every weekend. As much as possible, be here. Secondly, choose to connect in a small group so that they can help you walk in emotional health and spiritual health. September, we're going to be giving you an opportunity again to be jumping into a small group. We want you to be able to do that. And the third thing is choose to serve others. Helping you give of yourself to something that's bigger than yourself. Friends, before you close your Bibles and put down your notes, I want to really challenge you this morning as we come to the end of Psalm 23. So put everything away. Put everything away. Make your hands free. You're going to need your hands free for the next few minutes. I don't know where God is speaking to you this morning, but I know that he is speaking. So please close your eyes. And for the next few minutes, just be still before God and listen for his voice calling you to go into the mikvah today. I'm going to walk you through some prayers for all four of those areas. So I invite you to touch your head and then pray this prayer with me. Father, I pray that you would take my negative thoughts and cleanse them. Renew my mind as I read your word. Help me to guard what goes into my mind so I may think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Thank you for touching my mind with your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Now I invite you to put your hand on your head, over your heart. Father, I pray that you would reveal to me any area in my life where I have pushed you aside for something else. Forgive me for setting up another before you. Cleanse my passions so that they are pure and my heart belongs to you. Thank you for touching my heart and cleansing it with your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Now open your hands on your lap. Just open up like you're receiving this morning. Father, I pray that you would cleanse my hands of the actions I have done to hurt you, to hurt others, and even that have hurt myself. Forgive me and cleanse my past. Thank you, Lord, for touching my hands and cleansing them with your shed blood, Lord Jesus. And then finally, lean over and touch your feet. Father, I pray that you would cleanse my path. Allow me to be free of the drive for perfection and partner with you to make the right progress in my life with you. Give me eyes to see where you are and how you are leading me today and tomorrow. And thank you for touching my feet and cleansing them with your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, come. Renew and refresh and fill and empower each one of us with the things you desire us to become and to do as individuals and as a church. And I want to pray, I want to close with Paul's prayer for each one of us this morning. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And all God's people said, amen. Worship team, won't you come?
Please stand and sing with us.